So good to see all of you here. I think we're on the other side of all this stuff that's happened, aren't we? And I came in here today and sensed a good spirit. Before we get into that, I always debate whether to fill you in on too many personal things, you know, a little tidbit of personal information, but not too much. We'll share this with you. We passed our first big grandparent test. We kept the grandchildren for 26 hours. You know, I say that, and then the Holy Spirit, I'm serious about it. Not trying to turn every moment into a serious moment, you know, we just need, but I'm aware of the fact that some of you have probably raised grandkids. There are a lot of people out there raising grandchildren, so you're going to hear this story and think, well, oh yeah, you think that's cute, Pastor, what if you raise them? And I realize that. And I take that very seriously. But taking it from the traditional standpoint of passing the test 26 hours, and we survived. You know what I've learned? When they nap, you nap. I told my girls that, you know, and I told my daughter that. When they nap, you better nap. And we did. We all four took a nice little nap yesterday afternoon. And I thought, what can I compare this to? You know, the thought came to me about, because it was from like 4 o'clock on Friday to 6 o'clock on Saturday. The thought, what can I compare this to? And I'm serious. Years ago, we took a mission trip to India. My very first one, I don't remember what it was, when it was, 08, oh, I can't remember, 08, 09. But part of the trip was a 24-hour train ride from South India to North India. And if you've never been on a trip like that, it was quite an adventure. There was one air-conditioned car. So they took, I'm not going to try to make it sound too brutal, because they gave us the air-conditioned car. And I remember going, and I don't want to sound too heavy, but we were chugging along, and all of a sudden I heard, boom, boom. And I asked our guide, I said, what was that? An animal? He said, maybe. Or a person. You never know. I mean, if you've seen those trains over there, you know, people are on top of these trains as well as inside of them. And think of it. I'm not trying to bring too much heaviness. We need some lightheartedness and some happiness. But you pray for these people that are less fortunate from us. But anyway, I survived and we enjoyed it. And I look forward to doing it again, but not right away. Right? How long do you, how many of you know what I'm talking about when I say that? Some of you have gone the whole weekend. You're not feeling sorry for me at all. I know. And for those of you who have raised your grandkids or maybe great, I'm teaching, you know. Somebody said, how's your teaching going? It's going great. It's great talking about non-traditional. I have a great grandmother in class. And I thought of that when I saw this person who graduated. She's a great grandmother. She's probably in her maybe upper 60s, lower 70s. And she said her dream was always to go to Bible school. God's been calling her since the 80s. And by golly, she's going. And it's humbling. It's humbling. So turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. While you're turning, a D.L. Moody story. D.L. Moody was the Billy Graham of the 19th century and early 20th century. If you don't know about D.L. Moody, go to YouTube, go to Google, find out about D.L. Moody. He was doing so well in the United States, they decided they'd bring him over to England. So they had a meeting, and there were some young gung-ho guys, and there were some old stuffy preachers, and they were together, and they were talking, let's bring Mr. Moody over, let's bring Mr. Moody over. And some crotchety person said, why do we want this Mr. Moody? Why, he's uneducated. He's inexperienced. Does he think he has some monopoly on the Holy Spirit or something? And about that time, a hand raised in the back of the room. A young man stood up and said, sir, the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on him. Quite the contrary. the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on him. One of my favorite Moody stories. My desire is that the Holy Spirit would have a monopoly on me. I told you the best thing that can ever happen to you, discovering Jesus Christ as Savior. Then I said it's a two-way tie for second place. It's discovering your spiritual gifts, leading with someone else to the Lord. But I'm going to call it a three-way tie now. It's a three-way tie, and add the filling of the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit. Because you see, please understand, there is a difference between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. We'll get to that in a moment. Verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you would add your blessings to the reading of your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in thy sight. Lord, fill me, use me. Anything that in my life that would be a stumbling block to this message you want brought, please forgive me for that. Cleanse me. Speak through me. Lord, may we just lose ourselves in the moment. I pray folks would hear this message here in the moments ahead, and then they would hear the taped message later because it is so important, Lord. What an important subject this is. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Monopolized by the Holy Spirit. Monopolized by the Holy Spirit. Normally, being monopolized would not be a good thing, right? I mean, if you know someone that was monopolized by their job, monopolized by pleasure, monopolized by sports, maybe even monopolized by their family, that can be a bad thing, can't it? Because it can be synonymous with idol worship, and that's a dangerous thing. But being monopolized by the Holy Spirit is a good thing. 2 points to this sermon. That should give you hope, right? Don't get your hopes up because there's so much to say. For some reason, I feel especially excited today. So, I mean, I don't see it happening, but if we tick close to 11, don't get nervous. This is important stuff, folks. This is so important. 2 points. Why should I be filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm already baptized in the Spirit, right? Why should I be filled? And the second point is this. How can I be filled? How simple can it be? 2 points. The first question is this. Why should I be filled with the Holy Spirit? You talked last week, preacher, about baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that is positional rather than conditional. I don't want to get too deep in these weeds, but please understand the difference. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that is synonymous with salvation. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is positional. There's nothing anyone can get you out of the arms of Jesus Christ. You understand that? Because I believe in perseverance of the saints. I believe once saved, always saved. Once your name is etched in that book, there's nothing you can do. If you can't be saved by works, and we certainly preach you can't, then how can you be unsaved by works? Is the question that I ask. But we'll deal with that at a later date. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Synonymous with salvation. The Holy Spirit takes up residency. When you're saved, and this is Pentecost Sunday, and I didn't even plan it this way, but what better day than today than to preach this message in celebration of Pentecost Sunday? The pouring out of the Holy Spirit. When you're saved, the Holy Spirit takes up residence. Are you with me on that? But do you know that our God is a jealous God? Our God is a jealous God. He is not content merely to be resident. Speaking, he's a jealous God that he wants to be president. He wants to be president. God, listen to this also, because I thought about these things. And when I write these things, I think, preacher, are you sure? You be sure before you say these things and present them to the people. But there's a difference. God initiates the baptism of the Holy Spirit because it is synonymous with salvation. God initiates it. Are you with me on that? Because the Holy Spirit, as we'll learn later, has a convicting power. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit initiated that process. However, I believe we as believers initiate the filling of the Holy Spirit through our obedience, through our desire. We initiate it. Obviously, God is in charge of our faith, but we see that need and we decide, I'm not content just to have the Holy Spirit being resident. I want him to be president. So God's word commands it. Why should I be filled? God's word commands it. Nowhere in the Bible will you read, be baptized with the Spirit. But right here, you see it in verse 18. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. And understand, Paul is writing to believers. Paul is writing to those already saved. Part B of this, why should I be filled with the Spirit? Because kingdom life demands it. God's word commands it. Kingdom life demands it. And listen to what I'm about to say. You're saved. The Holy Spirit lives within you. Nevertheless, the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. The Spirit is willing, but the body is weak, right? The flesh is weak. We're living in enemy-occupied territory. Let me give you a little illustration. I love to use these little simple illustrations. Back in the early 2000s. We built a house, our first house, the first house we owned. We built a house, and it took about, let's say a year to build. But we spent the next 16 years maintaining it. You understand what I mean, don't you? Just like you understand about those grandkids, you understand about taking care of a home. I want to tell you that you come and you're saved, and that house is built. That house needs to be maintained. Imagine that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the building of the house, okay? The filling of the Holy Spirit is the maintaining of the house. Now, I will tell you this. Normally, if I go in and buy some electronic device, sir, would you like the extended maintenance, is that what they call it? Would you like the extended maintenance plan? No. I always say no. Gimmick. It's a money-making, if it breaks, I'll bring it in and pay for it, but no. And I generally don't take it. The same with automobiles, but I want to tell you what. When it comes to being a Christian, I want the extended maintenance plan. Can you say amen to that? The extended maintenance plan is a repeated filling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it's so important. Why should I be filled? God's word commands it. God's word says, be filled. So if I read something in this Bible, and this Bible tells me something, that's what I need to do. Another reason is because kingdom life demands it. It's tough out there, isn't it? We're going to get battered and bruised, and when you decide you're going to live for Jesus Christ, it may even get tougher. You got scars. There are people around this world that not only have spiritual scars, they have physical scars. We can't even imagine what it's like. You know, what we face in this country is probably nothing compared to what believers face in other countries. And why should I be filled? I gave you those reasons. Part two. Are you ready for this? Looks like we're great on time. How to be filled with the Spirit. How to be filled with the Spirit. Are you listening? Aren't you curious about this? I would be. Some of you, a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit today. And I will tell you this, at the conclusion of the service, this altar is open, and you come and you pray. Are you interested in a fresh filling? I think you should come and you should seek the Lord and ask him for it. How to be filled with the Spirit. I'll get to that shortly. But I'm going to tell you another little story that illustrates it. Back years ago, maybe in the mid-20th century, in a little town in Greenville, Kentucky, there was a grouchy old miser that maybe, let's say, he owned half the town. He owned all the big store. Remember those days somebody would own half the stores on the town square? At least they'd rent them. You know about that, don't you? This man was infamous in the town of Greenville, Kentucky. I wish I could find this in writing somewhere, but he drove what would he drive back then? What would you drive back then? I don't know, a big Lincoln Roadster or something. He'd pull up into that self-serve, back when they had self-serve, he'd say, "All right, young man, take some of that old air out of them tires and put in some new air." What do you think about that? "I got a job for you, young man. Take some of that old air out of those tires and put in some new air." Folks, that is genius. I'm so glad he said that, and I'm so glad someone passed that story along to me, because that is a perfect picture of a filling of the Holy Spirit. What do I do? "Preacher, I want to be filled." Well, the first thing you do is you exhale. What are you talking about? You exhale. Spiritually speaking, exhale. Breathe that old air out. That nasty, old, sinful air, that old air that is filled with doubt and hate and lust and anger and bitterness, breathe it out, right? What are we breathing out when we're breathing? Is it carbon dioxide? Is that right? Aren't we breathing out the bad stuff? I mean, we're talking about the human body again. Breathe it out. Exhale. Say, "God, I'm laying this at the cross. This isn't working." And then you inhale. Supernatural power. God longs to be a part of it. See, it's one thing to be baptized with the Spirit. It's another matter altogether to be filled with the Spirit. "Oh, you're talking about a second blessing, preacher." Yeah, I am. And a third blessing, and a fourth blessing, and a fifth, and on as necessary. And I tell you, it will be necessary. Understand this. Don't be afraid of this. Don't be scared about this. It's not an academic exercise. It's not magic. It's not a magic formula. It's not hocus pocus. It's not coming up here and me pushing you over and you landing softly on the ground. I don't want to get into all that. It's a supernatural process where the Holy Spirit of God comes in to not only reside, but to preside and take control of your life. Four steps, and we're done. What do I got, about 10 minutes, 15? Four steps. How to be filled with the Spirit. Are you ready for this? Write them down or remember them. The first thing you do is confess. You confess. Let's say, remember back in the old days when you went out to eat and now you got to ask for water. But remember the old days when there was a little empty glass sitting there? Remember those days? You go out, there was an empty, maybe still in some of the finer restaurants, linen tablecloths, a little empty. What would you do if you were there with your water glass? The waiter said, "I'll bring you some water in just a moment, ma'am." And you take a look at that long stem water glass and you see a fly down in the bottom. And then you look a little closer. Do I see fingerprints all over that glass? I think I might even see a hair. "Here I am, ma'am. You ready for me to fill up your glass? Are you ready?" "No." What do you say? "Get me another glass, please." So why should God instruct, if you will, his Holy Spirit to fill up a dirty glass? You understand what I'm saying? We're dirty because we're sinners. The Bible says, for all us short of the glory of God. But the great news is that we can be forgiven. David, in Psalm 51, David committed adultery and then murder to cover it up. And he fell under grave conviction. He remained silent and his bones wasted away. And then he said, God, for I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Read Psalm 51. Read Psalm 32. David confesses. You know what that means? It's part of prayer. It means you acknowledge along with God. You agree with him about the treachery of your sin. God hates sin. We sin. We build a wall between ourselves and God. And aren't you glad there's a way back? You know one of the great things about Pentecost Sunday? We don't say this enough. Who preached the great message of Pentecost? You remember? Peter. What happened to Peter? What did Peter say just weeks before that? Jesus? What are you talking about? I never die. Don't associate me with Jesus. What? He was one of his inner circle disciples. He spent years with him, denied him. Then he got reinstated on the banks of the shore of the Sea of Galilee and preached that wonderful sermon, didn't he? Because God forgave him. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, it's no fun. It's probably the least popular part of prayer. But, oh, we want to praise God and we want to thank God and we certainly want to start asking him, please do this, please change this. But confessing? God, I acknowledge the fact. Oh, I've not trusted you. I've displeased you. I've said things I shouldn't. I've lost my temper. On and on the list goes. You want to be filled with the Spirit? Do you really confess? Come clean. Wash me with hyssop and I will be clean. David, whiter than snow. Isn't it great? Say it again. Then you know what the next thing you do? Now, folks, understand this isn't some magic formula, but it gives you something to go by. Ask. 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 Almost 38 years ago, my wife and I got married. But you know what? It would have never happened if I had not have asked her. I asked her, and she said yes, and that was a good thing. And you got to ask, don't you? I love this verse. This one I want you to mark down. Luke 11, verse 13. Luke 11, if you don't look at it now, look at it later. If you then, being evil, because we are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Isn't that wonderful? And he's free. Ask. I mean, I don't see how much simpler it can get. I was in sales before I got into ministry. Anybody in sales? Anybody been in sales? You remember, anybody here been in sales? What do they tell you, Dwight? In the very end, you better what? You better ask for the order. Well, they spent lots of money training me to tell me that simple little phrase, ask for the order. Oh, I tell this story just funny, you know, this little bit. You don't go in. I mean, the car salesman who joins you on the lot, you know. You probably really don't want to buy that car you're looking at, do you? Would you be impressed by that? No. I mean, ask for the order. Ask. I heard this story. One of my favorite little stories. I hadn't even planned to tell it, but it pops into my mind. I love it so much. Remember Jimmy Stewart? Jimmy Stewart. Google this. Fact check me. Some of you fact checkers out there. Preacher, I don't know about that. Where'd you hear that? I heard it somewhere. He gave a bunch of his memorabilia, you know, stuff, maybe outfits he wore and stuff, you know, scripts and clothes and hats, to Brigham Young University, of all places. He wasn't a Mormon. He was Presbyterian, as far as I know. Young man from a good family in Indiana, Pennsylvania. They said, "Why in the world, Mr. Stewart, did you give that stuff to Brigham Young University?" And he said, "They're the only ones who asked." Ask. 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 As James says, you do not have because what? You don't ask. There are lots of people out there that are primed and ready for a filling of the Holy Spirit. I mean, their sins are confessed and up to date, and they're living the life. They're baptized in the Spirit, but they really aren't filled anywhere near capacity. Why? They haven't asked. And so you're confessing, and you're asking, and then you are yielding. Romans, let me read a verse. Paul's full of Holy Spirit language here. Let me find this from Romans chapter 6, verse 13. "And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your masters as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not master you, for you are not under law, but under grace." Yield to the Spirit. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. I was coming down Jefferson Road. I've done this every Sunday now since the last Sunday of August, maybe 9 months now. I go down Jefferson Road, and when I get to 85, I turn left. There's a little green arrow. Y'all follow me right now? So I'm entering onto the interstate from the east. You with me? Shake your head if you're with me. Guess what? There are also people entering onto the interstate from the west. So I'm coming this way, they're coming this way, right? You follow me? And even on Sunday morning, folks, there's traffic. Nothing like Friday afternoon, nothing like Monday morning, but there's traffic. So I'm coming this way, he's coming this way, and we're turning at the same time onto this little narrow entry ramp. But you know what's there? If you're coming from the west, you know what's there? What's there? One of those little triangle red and white signs that say, "Yield. Yield." And what if I'm still getting the hang of these yield signs, Everett? You got to watch them. Somebody's got to yield. One of the two have to yield. I'm going to end the sermon with a story. So he yielded. And I made it on safely, and I made it down here. I stand before you preaching. You have to yield to the Holy Spirit. You see, in Acts chapter 16, I think I used this a few weeks ago, but it's a great story. Paul and his missionary team were headed to Asia. They were fired up, ready to preach the gospel there in Asia. And they got stopped by the Holy Spirit, who redirected them to Macedonia. "Don't go to Asia." A man was saying what? What did he say? That was the Macedonian. I used that before, but it fits in here too. I'm using it again. Come over here. That's the Macedonian hall. And you know what? Paul and his gang could have said, no. We want to go to Asia. We're fired up and ready and prepared for Asia. We got all of our sermons and everything is all translated and everything's all fixed up and everything's ready. And that's where we're going. You know, the whole book of Acts would read differently, wouldn't it? Instead, they went to Macedonia. And oh my goodness, I mean, read about what took place in Philippi. Lydia got saved. Thessalonica, Berea, and on the story goes. Oh, I don't know about you, but man, I'm prone to rebel, aren't you? I'm prone to resist. No, I just want to do it my way, don't you? God, I don't know. I think in this case, maybe, you know, my ideas. We do that in the flesh, don't we? We do. And it's wrong because God says, yield. Yield to the Holy Spirit. You know, you yield right away, right? You say, God, you know, you got to win on this one because you're God and I'm not. And you know everything and I don't. You got that? So what do? You confess. Breathe that old nasty air out. Then you ask, come fill up more water, please. We ate out the other night. I like eating out, don't you? Isn't it fun? Now and then. The more often, the better. More water, please. More unsweet tea, please. More. Ask. Yield. And one final point. You know what it is? What is it? You know what it is, don't you? Anybody? You got to believe. Because just like with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, synonymous with salvation, you got to believe. You mean, preacher, when I ask to be filled with the Spirit, you mean lightning's not going to strike? You mean poofy dust is not going to fall from heaven? You mean there won't be claps of thunder? Probably not. Then how will I know that I have been filled with the Spirit? How will I know? That's invisible, right? Yes. More than likely. Because the filling of the Holy Spirit is a faith venture. It is a faith venture. So I'm going to close with 2 points and then a story. 2 points. Being filled with the Holy Spirit will not insulate you from sin. So once I'm filled, that's like, you know, protection against leaks, right? No. Remember what Moody said. Why do you keep talking about being filled with the Spirit, Mr. Moody? Because I leak. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a guarantee that you'll never sin again. And secondly, it is a process that must continually be repeated. I keep going to the air and the tire thing. You buy a new car, they drive it off the lot, and they might even, you know, I remember the days they'd fill it up with gas, clean it up really good. I buy used cars. I bought one new car in my life, but I'm not saying it's a bad thing, you know. Let me tell you this really quick. There was a guy, this is talking about sticking my foot in my mouth, and then I go, because y'all don't mind me telling this really quick, do you? We had dinner with some people last Friday, and there was a guy, he is one of my favorite people. This guy is great. He is the epitome of frugality and carefulness and level-headedness. And I just always loved it. I was his pastor for 17 and a half years, and he was a go-to guy, you know, and just about, he was a hardware man, then he moved over and he was manager at the bank. He was just the man. And I said, one thing I've always admired about you, you're like me, a used car man. We buy a used car. Maybe we buy a new house if we can afford it, but we're going to buy used cars, right? You and me, right? You and me, Jimmy, right? He kind of got this weird look on his face. He said, preacher, I got to tell you, I just bought a new Toyota hybrid Highlander last week. Come on, we're going to show you. And I thought, wow, I felt about that big. No, you can't do that. You're my hero. You buy used cars, you and me. He had a brand new Toyota Highlander hybrid. Is there such a thing? Maybe one of you have one. It even had the little sticker still on it. Brand new. License plate to come. So, you know, you never know. Be careful who you lift up and who you make a hero out of, you know. Sorry about that little diversion, but it was funny. You had to have been there. You'd never buy a new car, would you? Shh. Blushing. I got a new one out in the parking lot right now, preacher. But the point, why did you tell that? Because you buy a new car, and it comes off the lot with 35 pounds of air in the tires, right? Is it going to have 35 pounds of air 2 years later? No, it's going to leak, isn't it? You got to be filled. So the second point is this. It's a process that must continually be repeated. Okay, I'm going to end with this. In the summer of 1986, two ships collided in the Black Sea off of the coast of Russia. Hundreds of passengers were thrown into the icy waters below and died. You picture that? The tragedy escalated when the cause of the accident was revealed. Both captains were aware of one another's presence and positions, but they refused to budge. Each was too proud to be the first to yield. By the time they came to their senses, the worst had happened. The ships collided. Hundreds died. Too late for them, not too late for you this morning. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have a closing. I'm going to ask. You can't say I didn't ask. That, you know, I think we're kind of on the other side of this. If you want to wear a mask, you wear one. I've got one. I'll put it on to be safe. But you don't have to come to me. You don't have to come and shake my hand. If you're, say, preacher, you know, I acknowledge the fact that I'm baptized with the Spirit. That I'm sure of. I'm a child of God. I want to be filled. I want a fresh filling. Well, I'm asking you to come. There may be 40 people at this altar, there may be none. Well, there'll be one, it'll be me. And I know you got Sunday school coming up, but this may be the most important time in your life for a while. And I'm going to ask you to come and to be for a fresh filling. I know I'm going to seek it. So if you feel led, you come. Don't be afraid, don't be scared. I'm not going to drape a cloth over you or push on you. I might not even say a word to you unless I feel so led and you hang around for a while, but I'm asking. You want a fresh filling? You come, okay? Father, we thank you for the day. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we are so thankful that we're baptized in the Spirit when we're saved. But Lord, we leak, we sin, we fall short. Lord, now more than any other time in this service, I commit these moments ahead to you. We're going to gather at your altar. Some may not be able to come, Lord. Some are going to do it from the pew. We're going to seek a fresh filling to guide us from this day forward to serve like we have never served before. We pray in thy name.